This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
نعيده ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. قال الله تعالى في التنزيل العزيز بعد نقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطيع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد. Before I begin, I'd like to request from everybody to please put away all distractions and your cell phones. I have my notes on this, so that's why I have this open. This is not because of me who's speaking. This is because of the command of the Prophet ﷺ. This is something, bi amri Rasulillah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said that if you were to be distracted, hatta if you were to return the salam of the one who is saying salam to you, you have lost your ajr. So this is a serious matter. The Quran says, إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمْعَةِ فَاسْعُوا إِلَى ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعَ. When it is time for Jumu'ah, rush to the remembrance of Allah and leave behind all trade, all distractions. So in light of that, I'm going to remind you of that. Please, Jazakumullahu khairan. I want to share something with you. The Quran says something very powerful in Surah Hashr. Surah Hashr is Surah 59, Ayah 2. The ayah is a very long ayah and it's talking about something that took place in the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, with the tribe of the Banu Nadir, the Jewish community of Banu Nadir, and the Prophet ﷺ, they had a clash. And the ayah describes the situation in a very beautiful way. But the ayah ends with a statement, which is what I want to share with you. It says, فَاعْتَبِرُوا يَا أُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ فَاعْتَبِرُوا يَا أُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ. Take heed, pay attention, O people who can see. O people of intellect, look at this story, look at what has happened here, and learn something from it. And the scholars like Ibn Kathir, for example, mentioned that this is an ayah, this part of the ayah is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying about the Ghazwa of Banu Nadir, but it applies to everything in the Quran. Every story, every situation that happened in the life of the Prophet ﷺ, فَاعْتَبِرُوا يَا أُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ. Take heed, learn a lesson. Think about it, O people who can see and who can think. And this applies, as Ibn Kathir and others say, of course, is وَأَخْذِ الْعِظَى وَالْعِبْرَى مِنْ أَحْوَالِ الْأُمَمِ السَّابِقَةِ وَالْمُعَصِرَةِ. Also, this applies to taking heed and lessons from what happened in the past, but also what's happening right now. What happens right now around us, we shouldn't just think that, hey, coincidence, it took place. فَاعْتَبِرُوا يَا أُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ. The person of intellect and vision is going to say, what can I learn from this? So I want to share something that I learned from two conversations that I had last week. And they were back-to-back conversations. I had one meeting with this one lady, and then I had a phone call meeting with the next lady, both on the same day. And it was really, like, it really made me stop and think about what is going on. فَاعْتَبِرُوا يَا أُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ. That's what I think, and that's what I wanted to share with you all. The first was someone who accepted Islam. The first conversation was about somebody who entered Islam. We gave her the shahada. She was crying. It was a beautiful moment. Alhamdulillah. We ask Allah to give her thabat and istiqamah. We ask Allah to give her strength and tawfiq and ability to stay on the right path. The second conversation was about someone who had left Islam. And they wanted to ask me questions about, is there a God? How come the Quran's ayah, this ayah is contradicting with this thing that she thinks it's contradicting with, or how come this hadith is contradicting with this scientific fact? Whereas in reality there is no contradiction. I tried to reason with this lady as well. But it was very stark for me. فَاعْتَبِرُوا يَا أُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ. I had to take stock that within the day, within the hour, I'm having these two conversations at opposite ends of the spectrum. And there is something to be, some lesson to be extracted. I'm going to start with the first story. the first conversation, I'm not obviously going to mention anyone's names, the lady accepted Islam. And she told me her story. Before anybody accepts Islam, I first ask them, why are you becoming a Muslim? Okay? What's the reason? Please tell us. Okay? And then I give them an explanation of what the deen is. It's La ilaha illallah, worshipping Allah alone. It is believing in Risala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent prophets from the very beginning of time. It's believing that we are accountable. Right? ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. We're going to be asked about the things that we have been given, the privileges we enjoy, and the choices we make. It's everything we do has a moral consequence in Islam. If a person does something, if a person watches some inappropriate media and then says, hey, I didn't hurt anybody, you did hurt yourself. You hurt your soul. There is a moral consequence to all things in Islam. That's how we see it. That's what the Prophet said, إِنَّمَا بُعِثُّ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I was sent to perfect goodness. I was sent to perfect it. Goodness exists all over. I am here with the light of guidance to bring it to its most perfect level. This is mean. That means everything we do has a moral implication. Oh, I give them a small summary and then I ask them, are you still, like, would you like to think about this or would you like to accept Islam? Most people, in fact, everybody says, I like to accept Islam because they come already ready to enter. Alhamdulillah. This is a blessing of Allah that Allah has blessed us in this community here in London, by the way. It's a blessing of Allah. I have not seen this in other masajid. Other masajid, we don't have people just walking in, wanting to learn about Islam, wanting to embrace Islam. I've been in masajid where we've had open houses. This is in downtown Toronto. Of inviting people to Islam, an open house, come. There's one person who shows up the whole day. If you remember 2 years ago when we, before COVID, we would have open houses here in September. The masjid will be filled with people of all faiths, mashallah, coming to learn about the deen. This is a blessing of Allah. We need to be thankful to Allah for this blessing. Alhamdulillah. So this lady accepted Islam. Alhamdulillah. And she was overwhelmed. Like the Quran says, تَرَى أَعْيُنَهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْ. You will see their eyes overflowing with tears. مِمَّا عَرَفُوا مِنَ الْحَقِّ. Because they recognize the truth. Intrinsically, we believe. Our soul has been given a fitrah. Our soul has a fitrah. And that fitrah is connected to Allah. It's like a compass. How a compass snaps to the north whenever you put it on the ground. It's like a fitrah is snapping towards Allah. It's looking for Allah. And when it finds Allah, when our soul finds the haqq, the emotion is of tears and joy. So this is what she was experiencing. She had a very bad experience at the church. The pastor was extremely inappropriate. The way her family was treated was extremely terrible. And that made her think about Islam. I asked her, what made you think about Islam? She said, my friends were Muslims and they always would tell me, one day we hope you learn about Islam. One day we hope you learn about Islam. And one day, alhamdulillah, she learned about Islam and accepted Islam. So this is the first ibrah that I can take from this. Our friends that are non-Muslims, even if you have non-Muslim family, da'wah is, we treat them with good manners. We act in an upright way. Not because we're trying to be fake, but that's because what the sunnah is teaching us. And then we hope that one day, our presence in their lives will make them think about Islam in a positive way. In a positive way. And we pray that our presence was not a barrier for them entering Islam. That they didn't consider Islam as the truth because they interacted with a Muslim. That's what we pray doesn't happen. So there is a responsibility, brothers and sisters, that we all carry. I think I told you the story of the lady who accepted Islam about before Ramadan. She said, I've been Muslim for many years in my heart. And the only reason why she was interested in Islam was she saw her friend's brother, she saw her brother's friend fasting and playing soccer in high school. That was the moment she became interested. And many years later, here she is entering Islam. So these are things, brothers and sisters, we have to be mindful of. We are truly ambassadors of our deen. بَلِّغُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةٌ. Like the Prophet says, convey for me even if it's an ayah. For us, the conveyance of these ayat, this light of guidance, is by our akhlaq, by being good people, of course also by telling people, but aslan first by being good. The Quran, when it asks Quraysh, who have known the Prophet all his life, the Quran says, إِنَّمَا أَعِذُكُمْ بِوَاحِدًا, I ask you for one thing, أَن تَقُومُ لِلَّهِ مَثْنَا وَفُرَادًا, you take a break from groupthink, you think yourself, ثُمَّ تَتَفَكَّرُوا, as one or as a pair, and you think about this question, this point, مَا بِصَاحِبِكُمْ مِنْ جِنَّةٍ, your sahib, your friend, is not possessed, he's not crazy, he's not making things up, إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا نَذِيرٌ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ عَذَابٍ شَدِيدٍ, he is only a warner. The point here is the Qur'an is asking the people who knew the Prophet ﷺ best, take a minute to step away from the propaganda. Take a minute to step away from the heat of the groupthink. And think for yourselves, is your friend, the one that you've known your whole life, is he a liar? Is he possessed? Do you think he's going to make this up? And if you think that he's not going to do all of that, that leaves you with what conclusion? That he is a prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The idea here is this: the familiarity with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is what the Quran is asking Quraysh to think about. That familiarity is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using as a hook to bring them to the Deen, to the truth. That familiarity is what we can also have, and we have with our non-Muslim friends, colleagues, neighbors, family. And that familiarity has to be a familiarity of goodness. So when, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the tawfiq, the time for them comes to think about Islam, that familiarity with us is the reason why they take the first step. This is something we have to be very mindful of, brothers and sisters. Our actions have consequences, not just in the akhirah, not just for us as moral choices, but also for other people's salvation. And this is a heavier burden than normal, but this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. هُوَ اجْتَبَاكُمْ, He chose us. وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ, and didn't make any difficulty in the religion for us. That's the first thing I'd like to mention. The second thing, the interesting part is, with this lady was a man sitting with her. And the whole time I'm wondering, who is this man? I could tell he's a Muslim. And I asked his name, and his name was a Muslim name. And it turned out that he was the boyfriend. He was the boyfriend of this lady. And they were living together. And now, once this girl accepts Islam, she was afraid that she had to... She didn't know what to do. Because she knew, in Islam, we don't accept zina. We don't accept intimacy outside of marriage. This is something that is immoral. Marriage and intimacy is not immoral. Intimacy itself is actually a human action. It's something that all humans do. And if done in the confines of marriage, by what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated, it becomes an act of worship. Like the Prophet said, وَفِي بُضْعِ أَحَدِكُمْ صَدَقَةً. But if it's done in the outside that bounds, it becomes a great sin, one of the greatest sins in Islam, an immoral choice. So this lady understood this dilemma that she's in. And then alhamdulillah, you know, we decided that since they're already living together, it's best that they get married. Because the Prophet said, the best thing I find for two people who love each other is to get married. Not that they should go and stay far away. The best thing is to get married and stay together. Because love is it's a human thing. It's truly human. Adam al-Islam in Jannah wants a spouse. He wants a companion. We all want someone to love, and we all want someone to love us. This is a human need. You see? So Islam is not there to put barriers between us and our humanity. It is there to bring the best out in us by making sure that whatever we do is done in a moral way, through marriage, for example. So, alhamdulillah, they were married. Now, I got a call from the guy's mother. She's like, how come you married them? I was like, lady, you should be asking yourself, how come your son was sleeping with this girl and she didn't accept Islam because of him? She accepted Islam because of her high school friends. How come you're fine with that, but you're not fine with them doing something that's halal? That's the question you should ask yourself here. And this is the second ibrah. That we have in our I don't know, culture in people's minds, a messed up priority. Priority number one should always be doing what is halal, doing what Allah has commanded, staying away from and leaving what Allah has made haram. Not the other way. This lady was maybe afraid that people will say, oh, my son ran away and got married. They eloped. Said, but he was already in that situation. You didn't find that problematic? The priorities are messed up. We think zina is okay in this situation because it's under the rug, no one's going to see it. But marriage is not, because people in the open would say, where is the big ceremony? Why weren't we invited? Subhanallah. This is a problem of priorities. We need to prioritize, brothers and sisters. And this is my third ibrah from this. That we need to prioritize halal. Particularly when it comes to marriages. Why is getting married such a difficult undertaking? Like, young Muslims are struggling with this. Why are they struggling with this? When they could easily be dating, literally like the next day. Why is the haram so easy and accessible, the halal is so hard? It's not because of the deen. 100% it's not because of the deen. Because the deen is very simple. Ijab and qabool. It's two statements. And you're married. Alhamdulillah. It's not the deen that makes it difficult. It's the baggage that we have put on the deen that makes it difficult. أَخُولُ مَا تَسْمَعُونَ وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ اسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه وولا أما بعد. The last lesson from my that interaction on that one day is with the other lady who left Islam. And she was having all sorts of problems grappling with what I call very convenient sound bites. There's a whole industry on the internet comprised of new atheists, comprised of evangelicals, comprised of Islamophobes. They don't actually see eye to eye on most things, but they are all united on this front, which is to attack Islam. Okay? You would have a famous Christian preacher go on a show with a famous atheist. And they're collaborating to talk about the problems about Islam. This is things on YouTube. If you don't know this, Allah has blessed you with some way of staying away from these things. But this is an industry. There's millions of views on these videos. Not a few thousands, millions of views. When they do a live stream, hundreds of thousands of people are watching these things. This is not a small matter. These are big things. The collaboration of this is bringing about like these sound bites against Islam. The Prophet ﷺ did this, the Prophet ﷺ said that. And everything, wallahi, is detached from context. Everything is made to look bad. Okay? So this lady was caught in this trap. And I tried to tell her that, look, after many back and forth, my realization was the problem is La ilaha illallah. She doesn't accept La ilaha illallah, aslan. She doesn't accept that Allah is the only one worthy of worship. Because that's the start, that's the foundation, that's the ground we stand on. And then I started to talk to her about that, and truly she didn't understand, or she actually rejected the idea of there being a all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving God who is the one who brought everything into existence. She didn't accept that premise. And after that, it doesn't matter what you tell a person, nothing will make sense. You see, that's the foundation, that's where we start. So I had this conversation with her. But now the takeaway that I had was, because I watched a lot of these videos, I spent a lot of my free time watching things and educating myself on this. My question was, if she was to have this conversation with a friend of mine who just came from Saudi, that man would have no answers. Not to say I have a lot of answers, okay? But I spend time doing this. This person would be caught in a trap. If she was to have this conversation with her cousin or her son or daughter, they would have no answers. And that's the sad part. That's the sad part. Our deen gives us answers. The Quran has the answers. This is not like a slogan. When I did the Juz a Day Tafsir, this is what I focused on in the whole 30 days, how the Quran answers these kind of points that the atheists are bringing up today, and how brilliantly the Quran answers them. The answers are literally right there. We have to go find them. It brings you back to the ayah, فَعَلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ. Know that there is only one deity worthy of worship, and then ask for your forgiveness for your sins. Brothers and sisters, we need to educate ourselves on these matters. We need to understand what we're up against. We need to understand what our kids are up against. What our cousins are up against when they go to universities. Because they will see us as practicing Muslim, مُلْتَزِمِينَ بِالدِّينِ, right? Beard and hijab. They will come back and ask us in good faith. And if we're, you know, just a bubbling mess, what does that leave them thinking about the deen? That the deen is a mess. So we have to also educate ourselves to a point where either we're able to answer coherently or point them in a direction that makes sense. I'm actually going to recommend something. There's a brother, his name is Sabur Ahmed from UK. Excellent brother, mashallah. Okay? He has a lot of very good content. Okay? And especially to my young people in the audience. You know, stop wasting your time swiping through reels and binging season after season of shows. Okay? Put what little bit of your time into something productive. He did this video called Randomness, the Atheist Idol. Google it. Randomness, the Atheist Idol. And it's one of the most amazing explanations of the logical fallacy of atheism. The thing that atheism wants to stand on, it cannot stand on it. And it's a very beautiful video. Watch these things, brothers and sisters. Watch them with your families. Know about these resources if someone is looking, so you can at least direct them in this direction. Our deen, like the Quran says, فَعْلَمْ. We need to learn about La ilaha illallah. Know that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. Ibn Taymiyyah says, this is a command, and this is one of the greatest commands in the Quran. Because it's a command to know about La ilaha illallah. This is fulfilling that command. Watching these videos, learning about these matters, is fulfilling this command. Wallahu a'lam. So I would say to you, as an ibrah last from this last story, is our ummah is of many, many, in many different places, and many shades, not just physically, but spiritually, we're in such different places. And as those who are in the masjid, those who Allah has blessed and chosen to be in the masjid, we, brothers and sisters, carry the responsibility of educating ourselves, setting the example for those around us, and helping those around us in whatever way we can. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq, the ability to understand the Quran and Sunnah and to implement it. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi ya ayyuha alladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallim taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin fil awalina wa fil akhirin wa salli ala Muhammadin fil mala'il a'la ila yawmiddin. Allahumma ahina ala sunnatihi wa mitna ala millatihi wa ahshurna fi zumratihi wa asqina min hawdihi ya rabbal alameen. Allahumma ati nufusana taqwaha wa zakkiha anta khayr man zakkaha anta waliyuha wa maulaha. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana. وقنا عذاب النار وقيموا الصلاة.